Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Father God, I thank you for this night. I give you all the glory, praise, and honor. I have such an excitement and a hope in my spirit. And in the natural, that probably wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, but I have something that I know is a hope and an excitement from you that something good is happening in the spirit, even though there's all kinds of things happening in the natural. So we thank you in advance for what you're getting ready to do. Father, I ask you tonight that you, by the Holy Spirit, speak to each person that's either watching or listening. I ask you to give them food from heaven. Give us manna from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. So you can see him in the car. If you're watching by Facebook, we didn't quite make it home in time to do the broadcast, so I thought, well, everybody else does it, I'll do a car thing. So we're in a quiet place and hoping that there's not a lot of interference as we go on. So as I was praying for tonight, I had the most interesting picture given to me. I saw a vision of Christians, believers, and they were just about their business, and the overwhelming thing was there was such a quietness and peace on each one of them. I saw one man was in a workshop or a studio. He was working on something. Other people were about their business doing different things, and suddenly, without speaking a word, they all at one time knew to come and gather together in the spirit. It was obvious that it was in the spirit, but it was also obvious there was a most perfect unity. And that's a unity that can only be achieved by the Spirit. Because if you think about it, believers all over the world believe all these different things, and there's always been differences, which is actually okay. But in the Spirit, there comes this unity that can only be done by the Holy Ghost. And what I saw was people being gathered together, and they took, and no one spoke a word, but they began to stand. They were not together in a group, but almost standing in a formation. Now, not a word was being spoken. And I began to watch as every person began to move like in a perfect unity. And it wasn't, I wouldn't call it a dance. It almost looked, I wouldn't call it martial arts, but there was a movement going on in the spirit. And I knew that God was saying to me, they're moving as one. And yet they are not talking to each other or preparing or planning. They just know. And I was reminded of a couple things. One of the things I was reminded of is you may have seen or heard the testimony a few years ago about a man in Africa that was dead 4 days. He was in the morgue. He was dead 4 days. And his wife said to the Lord, "You promised me." And she took him to a Reinhard Bonnke meeting. Now, Reinhard was upstairs preaching. They took him to the lower level, and a bunch of brothers got around him and began to pray. Now, this man in the spirit had died, of course, been dead 4 days, and he actually went to heaven and was having quite the encounter. And when he came back, they brought him back to life. And this was just a huge testimony. But one of the things this man said, and this came back to me as I saw this vision, one of the things this man said was, in heaven, when it's time to worship, everyone moves as one person. Everyone goes on their knees at once. Everyone stands and lifts their hands at once. Everyone sings at once. Everyone is quiet at once. Everyone lays down in their face at once. It's all like being one person. And that was the sense of this vision that I saw, is that there is such a sense of the body of Christ. And I know in my heart it probably will not be the whole body, because not everyone's going to be able to hear, but I do believe there is a remnant of people who've been seeking the Lord for something higher than Christianity as usual, and they're learning how to tune their inner man and their ears to what God is doing. I was also reminded, if any of you have read the book called Heavenly Man, they had to know it was about a man who was actually persecuted very, very much in China. Christianity is not okay in China. I went to China, mainland China, a few years ago, and to be honest with you, to get in, I had to fib on my application and say I was a tourist and I was staying at a hotel, when in fact I was going to minister and I was staying in a home. And it was the only way they'll give you a visa. But even while I was there, 2 hours south of me, a church was destroyed. Like, while I was there, people, the controlling figures in the town actually, I don't know why they chose to do it this way, but they dislocated the right arm of every person that was there worshiping. And the news article that came out, which managed to get broadcast even out of China, was these people with their dislocated arms on the pile of rubble with their hands in the air worshiping the Lord. But this book, Heavenly Man, was about a man who lived in China for many years and was many, many times put in jail, many, many times beaten, many times tortured. But he told a story of how the underground church moves by the Spirit. So many times they can never announce where a meeting will be held because they know they'll be in trouble. So everyone knows by the Spirit, go to so-and-so's house. And he actually told stories of a time when someone had to come home from a meeting and it was very dark and they couldn't go in the main way or they would be caught by the government. And so they would go through the woods and it was so dark, an angel would go in front of them with a light and show them the way to go through the forest to find their way home. And so I feel like in these days of the supernatural, this, I know some of you came on late, but it's okay, later this will be posted. You can back it up and just look at the what I said. But there was, I had a vision of people coming together without, you never heard a word spoken. They just came in quietness and peace by the Spirit and began to move as one. It was it wasn't that they had been taught the same dance or moves. It was like they were moving as one person. I feel like the Lord is saying that what he's about to do, don't worry if you're not connected, you will know it inwardly. Just learn how to follow that inward witness, because God is preparing us for a season. He's preparing us, I believe, where he's going to do some things through us. I actually see, as I'm saying this, I'm actually seeing a flow of God coming through us. And for me, this, I want to say this, I believe that ordinary believers who've spent years getting ready, spent years praying in the Spirit, spent years maybe behind closed doors hanging out with God, just making their heart ready and loving the Lord and sitting at the feet of his word, sitting at the feet of the word, and they've been making their heart ready, just even being prepared to do something, even if they don't fully understand what that something is. And what I'm seeing is something that for me, I began to encounter years ago when God started to teach me how to preach by the Spirit. You know, when I first started, I didn't know how to do it. I knew I was called to do it, but I tried to do it in the flesh or in the natural. I would pray and fast and get a message from God and do my best to deliver it. And they were from God, so they were pretty good messages because they weren't from me. But one day he kind of wouldn't let me do that anymore, and he told me, you have to learn to stand and deliver. And I'm saying this for you because the body of Christ, the remnant that is prepared, will be moving in such a place where we will know how to stand and deliver. And what that feels like is a river flowing through you. You are there, you are aware, but the message is not coming from you. God is feeding it to you. He's flowing it through you. There's actually a flow that happens when you, and when you're in that flow, you know that you are. And what happens is your mind may be saying, oh, I don't think that made sense. You know, your mind might actually even be thinking, wow, that was a strange thing to say that I just said. But in you, there's this inner knowing, oh, God is speaking. And he will use people to convert back and say, oh, I was just asking God that question. I needed to know that. And so it's been a learning journey for me that started really, I mean, I've been preaching since 89, but it started in 2001. But it became, he told me back then, way back then when he was teaching me, he said, I want you to learn to speak what I'm saying when you're alone in your prayer closet. He said, when I speak to you, say it out loud. I said, even if we're alone, that seems strange to me. And it probably sounds strange to you, but he said, yes. And the reason is I want you to speak what I speak, say what I say, move how I move, So sometimes if you're an intercessor, you'll feel the sense of speaking with more tenacity or speaking more strongly or even shouting if the Holy Spirit is saying something firm. Sometimes you'll have a sense of what it is. Sometimes you'll have a strong sense of warfare, a strong sense of worship, and that is being led by the Spirit. And what happens is when we come to a place where we are doing that as the norm, we become his representative or his mouthpiece in the earth. And you say, well, some of you are saying, well, I'm not a prophet. Yes, but you are a New Testament believer. And every New Testament believer, if they are paying attention during this time, will be prepared, will be made ready, will be able to speak the word of God in power. And we're going to have a season. We're going to have a season where we're going to get to speak the word in power to people who are hungry for the first time in their life. Because see, all this hoo-ha that's going on, all the difficulties, the trials, the troubles, there's on one hand and on the other hand, right? And we are not done seeing. There will be other kinds of trouble that we will see, even this year, I think. But what God is doing is he's preparing the world to say, okay, I get it, I need God. And he's preparing us to say, let me tell you how to do it. Let me tell you what God says to you. Let me tell you about the love that God has for you. Let me tell you how God has promised that he can take care of you. Let me tell you about how God has promised to provide if there's no other provision. We will be ready with the word of God. And I'm hearing the word firebrand. Some of you right now, I see your tongues being lit on fire. Some of you are actually feeling there's a lighting of a fire in the spirit. And it will make no sense to your mind. Don't worry about, listen, the things of the Spirit will not usually make sense to your intellect. Our intellect doesn't have the capacity, our natural intellect, okay? We've been given the mind of Christ, but that's in the Spirit, okay? So there'll be some things, don't try to figure it out before you do it. Learn to follow God, okay? Learn to move with him. And I want to go back to what he told me. He said, I want you to speak what I speak, say what I say when you're alone with me. And he said, I want you to do it so much that it becomes as natural to you as breathing. And I want you to become so good at it that you can do this. You can say what I'm saying, whether you're facing a gang on the street or the President of the United States. In other words, if you're on a platform or alone in your room, get so good at saying what I'm saying that is just what you do. Okay? And I'm sharing that with you because he is making ready. Some of you are being made ready even right now. Some of you have a lot of knowledge. I'm seeing in the spirit there are people that I'm talking to. You have probably more Bible knowledge than most people. Some of you may have more. You've studied more. You have a lot of Bible in your guts. You know, you have it. You have a good framework. But now what's going to happen? A person who knows a lot may not always have a powerful delivery, but God is releasing delivery methods by the Spirit even tonight. Some of you that say, like Moses, I don't speak well. God's not asking you to stand on a platform, but I'm telling you, we're coming into some times where people literally on the streets will be saying, what do I do? Help me. I heard you're a Christian. Can you help me? God is lighting your mouth on fire. He's going to, I feel it, I see a fire in the belly. Some people that I'm talking to, you have known for years that you're called to do something, but it's been vague. It's been cloudy. Like, I know I'm supposed to do something, but what is it and when will it happen? And I feel like I'm hearing the words of the last hurrah. Like, in a lot of ways, we are seeing a time when we're going to get to be a part of an amazing move of God. And so I know that there's trouble on every side, and it probably looks pretty tough, but I want to tell you something. This is a season where I believe God is preparing us to speak by the fire of the Spirit, and not just those of us that speak a lot, not just those of us that are used to speaking public. I'm seeing Moses and Aaron, and I'm seeing lots of them. I'm seeing Josephs. I'm seeing Calebs. I'm seeing people who have certain anointings. And that anointing is being lit like a torch, and I'm seeing the fire lighting. You already have it, and some of you even know. You know inside you that you're called to do something, but you just haven't been able to understand it. And you know, sometimes that's for a reason. Sometimes that God can't fully reveal, even to us. We know there's something, but sometimes on purpose he has to keep hidden until the time. You know, sometimes there's a time of revealing, and then there's more, and then there's more after that, and that's very normal. And the reason is we would get ahead of ourselves because we would try to figure it out. And in case you haven't gathered by now, there's some things your intellect can't really do because this stuff is by the Spirit. And so what God wants you to do is get very good at being adapted to His Spirit, being honed into what is He doing now, what is He saying now, oh, what is God feeling right now, what's He up to, what is He saying to the people in the street, what is He saying to those in trouble, what is He saying to the fearful. And you're going to get very good at it, and you'll get good at it in the prayer closet. But I'm seeing someone you've been for 20 years, and I think there's even something for this one person significant about the year 2000. You had some sort of a encounter, some sort of a vision, some sort of a thing from God where you knew that God was setting you apart. I actually see Him carving you out like you'd carve, like a cookie cutter carves out a piece of the dough to set it apart, to shape it a certain way. I actually saw that. And in the year 2000, this one person that I'm talking to, God set you apart and you knew it. But you've wondered, what's going on? Why is the delay so long? Why have I not been able to do it? And you've actually thought, did I fail? And the Lord says to you, no, you did not fail. You have been being made ready. There's always a great preparation work, especially if you're truly called. If you're truly called, the vast majority of the time, there's a great work of preparation because God releases something. You know, He used to give me that old expression from the commercial, we will sell no wine before it's time, because it has to be aged perfectly. And sometimes the Lord will give you words and understandings and even sound doctrine, even understanding from the Bible. And sometimes great students of the Word will be like, I've got all this stuff God gave me. Where do I deliver it? Well, let me tell you something. Some of that, there comes a day when the door flies open and the Lord will remind you. Now, there's a scripture, and I'm probably not going to quote it exactly because I wasn't thinking I would talk about this, but it talks about a prophet who brings out of his storehouse things both old and new. And when you are a prophetic teacher, prophetic preacher, and that doesn't mean you're a prophet, okay, but it means that you're tuned in to what God is doing and operating in your gift, whether it's evangelism, whether it's pastoral, whether it's counseling, okay? There's no better way to do any gift than prophetically. Your gifting is one thing, but doing it in the Spirit, that's what gives it power. That's what gives it the juice. That's what gives it that arrow that goes to the heart. And so God is preparing, whether no matter what your calling is, no matter what your giftings are, is God wants that to move with, in tandem with the Holy Spirit, because that's where the real power is at. And so the Father, I see Him lighting people on fire, and I see Him taking people that have been sitting, quote, on the sidelines, or feeling like they aren't maybe in good position. And again, I'm reminded of Moses, who tried to explain this. Just makes me laugh every time I read it. But Moses tried to explain to God why he shouldn't be the one to deliver the message to Pharaoh, because he didn't speak well. You know, he kept explaining, you know, no, I'm really not good at speaking. Really, God, you've got the wrong guy. And that just always makes me laugh, because God always, I shouldn't say always, but God often picks people that don't have the ability. Hello, here I am, Halle Bailey, you know, that don't have any ability to do what He's calling them to do. And He does that on purpose because He wants to get the credit, because you know you couldn't do it. He knows you couldn't do it, and probably everybody you know knows you couldn't do it. See, if you think you can do it, then what'll happen is you'll do it in the flesh, and it'll be another stinking, human, fleshy ministry that will fail. I love y'all, but I'm just telling you the truth. There have been too many ministries that somebody said, I can do this, you know, and did it in the flesh, and it stank. It lasted a little while, and then, now we love everyone, and we're not trying to be mean, but the fact is, the power is when we subject all that we have, all that we are, every word that we speak unto the Lord, and we pray that every word is His, not ours. I remember the first time when I was called to preach in a church, and it was a very prophetic church, and the pastor of the church was extraordinarily prophetic, And I really didn't want to blow it. And I said, God, I need to know that every word will be your word. I don't want to say one thing that is my opinion or my thought. Not one. I mean, not one. And he told me, he said, I want you to pray in tongues for 9 hours. Well, I couldn't quite pull that off in one day, but I kept at it, and I kept at it, and I kept at it, and I kept at it, because I so wanted something that was birthed from heaven. I didn't want to go, what do they need one more preacher for? The world doesn't need one more preacher, especially one that's just giving their opinion of how they read the Bible. Because did you ever notice 20 people can study the scriptures and get 20 completely different opinions? What's that about? So we really need God's opinion. We really need, what is God saying? And so as I prayed, I remember shutting myself in my room and just praying and praying and praying and praying. And it took a while. It took some hours and some days, right? Because I'm not that great. I couldn't quite do 9 hours at a stretch yet. But after some hours of praying in the Spirit, I saw a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark, as I prayed, began to open just a tiny little bit, like, let's say, maybe an inch and a half. And this blinding light began to shoot out of the Ark. And I knew God was saying he would speak. He was going to speak. And that's what I was seeking him for. Now, interestingly, God will often send a witness. Now, this was back in the 90s when this happened. And I was preaching. And there was probably 40 or 50 people in the room. And there was a man there who I believe was a seer. And what happened was he saw a light as the message was being delivered. And the light was so bright, he said it actually hurt his eyes and he could not look at it. Now that has nothing to do with me. But what happened? Something from heaven was being released. That's why praying is so important, because praying, especially submitted, when we submit our hearts in prayer and we don't have all the answers. You know, I don't have any answers. And when I go into prayer, I make sure that I go in a completely, like, on my face I want to say this. I don't literally always get on my face, but my heart is, I know nothing before God. And I go in, every time I ask him for advice, I go in knowing that I do not know the answer. And he is always, always right. And when you go to God that way, you will get an answer, and it'll always be right. When you go in thinking you know something, there's people that actually argue with God and tell him why he's wrong and correct him. Well, what kind of answer do you think you will get? The enemy will oblige you with deception. And that's how deception comes. You know, deception comes when you want your way more than you want God's way. That's when deception come in, because you want something so much, the devil will say, oh yeah, do that. And you'll go, ooh, the Lord has spoken. And you don't know the difference. I'm just telling you. That was free. That was a tangent. That was just free. But God's trying to get us to a place where we hear and sense it. You may not hear, you may know, you may see. But God's trying to get us to a place, because he's about to do a thing. And it's going to be amazing. He's going to do something, and he's going to use all those, I'm hearing, all hands on deck. Now, there will be people, like I'm seeing a great ship, like the USS something or other, one of those great big ships, and I'm hearing all hands on deck, but I'm seeing that in the body of Christ, you know, when they say that, people scramble to get up on deck, because that means everybody get up here now, stand at attention right now, you know your place in the line, get up here, boom. Well, that's what they're supposed to do, but the picture I'm seeing is that there will be people in the lower decks that they don't even hear the call. They can't hear, they don't hear, they're dull. Jesus talked about people being dull of hearing, dull spiritually. And I love you, and I don't want to ever hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you something. I can tell if I start to get a little dull. And if I start to get dull, as I go to work immediately to get sharp, I start praying. I may fast, I may spend time in the Word, I'll do what it takes, because I cannot afford to lose my edge. And guess what? In this day, neither can you. Some people for too many years have said, well, I'm pretty comfortable, I'm not in a crisis, and so, you know, God kind of goes on the back burner. Now, this is human nature, I'm not condemning anybody. Listen, if I'm just going to tell you, I've seen that we can lose our edge in 3 days. Doesn't mean you're backslid, but you can lose your edge if you're not focused on Him. And you know how God always speaks to me about this? If you've ever been to the ocean, and let's say you just go stand in the ocean. You know, after a couple minutes, it's hard to do because the movement of the water will try to just carry you. Gently, maybe, but it'll start to carry you, and pretty soon you're way down the beach from where you started. If you don't actively enforce, I'm going to stay here, you got to swim. And one time somebody asked, I was always amazed at Brother Reinhard Bonnke, not just what he accomplished was so amazing. You know, I remember when he had 3.4 million soul decisions, like first time decisions for Christ in 1 week. 3.4 million. Now that's an altar call. But what really impressed me about him was the longevity of his ministry. He didn't just do it once. He did it for decades. He did it and he did it and he did it and he did it. And he kept doing it with the same amazing track record. And one day somebody, and whenever you see somebody like that, and there's not that many, whenever you see an older minister, you know, Lester Sumrall was one, Brother Hagin, you see a minister that's been doing it for decades and the devil hasn't been able to take him out. Because let me tell you something, you can't believe what these people have had to live through and what they've had to stand through and how much they've had to stand on the word and not be moved. When you find somebody that has been doing it for 6, 7, 8 decades, pay attention to them. They have wisdom and they have knowledge, right? And so Reinhard Bonnke, having done this for many, many years, someone approached him and they said, what is the secret to it? And he said, keep swimming against the waves. And that's when God started to teach me. Because I thought, keep swimming against the waves, what does that mean? Well, it means the waves, the natural course, will carry you away. It's always going to be easier not to go to the prayer meeting. It's always going to be easier not to open your Bible. It's always going to, your flesh is always going to say, oh, you know, I think I'd rather just go relax. Your flesh, but flesh, believe it or not, can be trained. Flesh can be trained to love prayer. If you pray enough, you know, whatever you feed your flesh, it grows to like. I learned this from pizza. If you eat pizza, the next week you want pizza. That's the truth. But you can train your flesh to actually love the place of prayer and the presence of the Spirit until where you're so hungry for God that you'll spend the time it takes. You can actually retrain your flesh. We need to begin to retrain who we are on the inside. Because you know what? You only get one shot at this, at being a believer in this earth. I don't know how much more time we have, really. But I've always felt like you get one time around. You know, the Bible says your life is like a vapor. You know, it's here and then it's gone. Get one shot at it. And I had an unbeliever. I was actually witnessing to this brother. I called him a brother, but he wasn't saved. And he was saying, you know, I've always felt like life is a test. I said, it is. You know, it is a test. You get one shot at it. And what we do with that right now might seem minor, what you did today or what you did for an hour. But in that day, I don't want to be one of those people that looks back and says, oh, I wish I would have understood how important that was. I wish I would have pressed in further. I've always felt like I don't want to do that. I want to do what I'm supposed to do while I'm here, while I have a chance. I want to get her done, you know, whatever it is, whether it's prayer, whether it's telling someone, loving someone, doing the right thing, whatever it is, I want to do what I was put here to do. And I feel like we're standing at a precipice right now in time. And it's, don't be afraid. I'm not saying this as though it's a scary thing. I'm saying, like, I think this is going to be awesome. Yes, we will see trouble. And I think we may see a good bit of it. But what I really feel like God is saying is this is actually like a dark room with a very bright light. Let's say you're in a pitch black room. God showed me this yesterday. Pitch black room, and somebody turns on, you hear that chain going chink, chink. And a 60-watt light bulb goes on, it's going to be blinding, even though it's only a 60-watter. It's going to be blinding, and that's you and that's me. I felt like he said, we are going to shine like lights in a dark place. We're to shine brightly. We're to blaze in glory for Jesus. And I feel like, you know, over the past few weeks, I'm sensing there are some things, it's not that it's sin. You know, the Bible says all things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying. I must say it again. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying. You know, and what I've noticed the past few weeks is that I'm starting to have a desire to just put some things away. In the Bible, putting away means divorce, you know, leave it behind, let it go. I'm having a sense of wanting to hone in more and more and more on Jesus and make my life more and more and more about Him and seeking Him in such a way, because I'm telling you, I feel like we're standing on this great precipice. Let me talk about this precipice for just a minute. For years, I would always see this eagle. And in case you don't know parable, or prophetic language, an eagle generally is a prophet, a prophetic move, a move of the Spirit. It can also mean America. It can mean you. It can mean the body of Christ. Okay? But for years, I would see this eagle. And I knew that he was up high, but he wasn't near the edge. And about, I don't know, about 3 or 4 years ago, I began to see this eagle standing on the edge of a very great precipice. And when I would look down over this precipice, it was massively deep, like a very great canyon. And not so long ago, I began to see this eagle soar out over this canyon. And this eagle was watching in the spirit, watching what's going on, watching and watching. I believe that God is bringing that to the forefront in the body of Christ. And the precipice, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a thing of entering a day of the true prophetic. We've seen, I'm going to say something that might sound mean. I don't mean to. I love y'all. But we've seen so much garbage in the prophetic. We've seen so much stuff that is so not of God. And so, it may have started with God, but it's been tainted by flesh. Or it's been altered by flattery or wanting to be seen of man, or it's been, as one great prophet said, it's been a second heaven type of prophecy instead of a third heaven. In other words, they're seeing what the devil is doing and focusing on that. Well, we could talk all day about what the dumb devil is doing, but that's not edifying, is it? We kind of know what he's doing. But where the action is, prophetically and for this eagle, is to enter into God's gates. Enter into the Holy of Holies, hang out with the Lord, find out what His heart is, what's He saying, what's He doing. You know, it's exciting to know before He does a thing. You know, even if you don't, it's not about telling anybody or showing off that you knew, but I'm going to tell you, there's no greater peace than when you already know, okay, yes, that will happen, but I'm positioned. God will help you position yourself to be in a very good place when it happens, okay? God will position you if you pay attention in His realm. God wants you to come home. I don't mean die. I don't mean go to heaven, die and go to heaven. I mean, He said, come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Come and fellowship at the throne. Come and hang out with Him. Come and spend some time with Him. Spend some time in worship. Spend some time when nobody's looking, put on a song and dance before the Lord or sing. It doesn't matter who hears. It doesn't matter if you're tone deaf. Who cares? God doesn't care. God loves to hear you. I make up the stupidest songs you ever heard. They're just silly songs. They're silly. But I'm singing to someone I love, and I sing a silly song and then we laugh. You know, we have a good laugh. And, you know, God wants you to be so close to Him that you can hear His heartbeat. He wants you to be like John. John laid his head on Jesus' breast. You know, if people did that today, there'd be, you know, there'd be a big scandal. Oh, those two, you know. But John, there was nothing like that. It was a holy thing. He knew the Lord. He knew Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord. He knew who Jesus was. And he actually, in front of all these people, laid his head on Jesus' chest. He didn't care what they thought. This is my King, and I'm going to worship Him. He knew how to get close to Jesus without shame or embarrassment or apologizing for having mushy feelings. You know, outwardly, I'm not the most mushy person, but I am the most mushy person I've ever met when it comes to Jesus. It's a romance. It's a romance. It's a time of worship. It's alone times where there should be sweet nothing said to one another. There should be that season, that Song of Solomon time between you and the Lord. It's not just about church and stuff and doctrine. That's all good. We need all that. But I'm just telling you, it's about relationship. It's about growing close to Him. Where you're best friends, where you go on long walks together or hang out together or even watch a movie together. Yes, it is possible. Walking along hand in hand, having Him teach you or correct you or help you. That's where it's at. That's what Christianity was supposed to be. That's what God desired with all His heart. Last week we talked about Eden, where God would come, personally come, and fellowship with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day every day. And imagine, do you know that that is what we are called to? That's why we were created. Some of you still have this belief system that you were created to get stuff done. You know, or you're, oh, I love you, but some of you are OCD and you think it's all about having everything perfect. You know what? God loves you and He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you in love with Him. You know, if you're so busy getting your clipboard right and all your notes right, and you know, that's good, but that's secondary. You know, I know many of you have heard me tell this story 100 times. I feel like I'm supposed to tell it. If a man asked a woman on a date, and it was their very first date, and they went to a nice restaurant, she pulled out her little clipboard, her little notebook, and she began to quiz him and say, okay, now, how do you feel about, do you prefer chicken or do you prefer lamb? Oh, chicken, okay, check. Now, do you like that with gravy or do you like, what? And she began to take notes. Now, what her heart is, she wants to please him, so she wants to make him the best meal. And he's thinking, I am never, ever taking you out again because you don't even get it, right? Because it's supposed to be a bit romantic. You know, when you see two people in love, you don't see him taking notes, do you? I'm not against notes, okay, don't misunderstand. There's a time for notes. There's a time to have a business meeting with God. There is a time for that. We have them lots. I have lots of business meetings with God. I have a lot of that kind of stuff where He gives me instruction for ministry. He gives me instruction and direction for meetings. That's cool. But that should always be take a back burner, take a back seat to the relationship where we are snuggling, where we are loving one another, where we are in Song of Solomon, whispering sweet nothings to loving one another. Because in that place of fellowship and warmth and just finding out, you know, when you love someone, you care how they feel about stuff. You care how they think. You care if something's bothering them. And you're not just in their face saying, oh, okay, God, now could you do this for me? And I need that. And could you do that for me? You know, it's not all about you and me. In fact, very little of it is about you and me. What if we were able to convert our hearts? What if we were able to pray until our heart got to a place where we began to say, what is it that would make you happy, God? Is there something that I could do that would really make your day? Is there some way that I could wash your feet? And sometimes what He'll say will shock you. Sometimes He'll have you go to somebody, you know, the Word is full of it. I was just reading the other day, when you have a dinner party, don't invite all the people that are, you know, up and coming and wealthy and they can pay you back. Go find the people that are a little bedraggled, the ones that are poor and the ones that could never pay you back. And you might say, well, I don't like them as much. You know what? Maybe they need some help. Maybe, you know, because, you know, to do that, you know, you're washing His feet. What if He has someone for you to just speak to? Or someone for you to just smile at, or for someone just, you could just help them a little with their groceries. You understand, He said, when you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. But how do you find out that walk? It's in the garden, right? It's in His place. You understand, there's still a garden. Understand that when you spend enough time with Him, and at first you may say, well, I don't know how to do that. That's okay. God knows you don't know. God never judges us. He knows we're, you know, spiritual idiots. He does. He knows we don't know anything. None of us do. None of us. I don't care how many years you've been prophesying or what a hot shot you think you're. None of us really know very much at all about heaven and truly about the Lord. You know, Kenneth Hagin in his 80s said, the older I get, the more I realize how very little we know about God. You know what? The older I get, the more I think about that. That man was right. We really just see a glimpse, just a picture, just a taste, you know. But God desires to be with us. He loves us, and he never gets mad when we say, you know how I learned to hear the voice of God? I went to God and said, I need you to teach me. I don't have a clue how to do this. And I made tons of mistakes. I didn't know what I was doing. I had to go to him every day, train me, teach me. What do I do? And one of the first things he taught me to do was spend a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time praying in the Spirit, because it's the one thing you can do that sensitizes your spirit man. It's like your spirit man doing push-ups, right? Because every other kind of prayer, you know, it's okay to pray with your understanding. Paul said he would pray in the Spirit and he would pray with his understanding. And that's good. That's a good thing. Very good, in fact. But when you pray in the Spirit or when you pray in tongues, you're doing spiritual exercises. You're building yourself up in your most holy faith. You're also building your sensitivity to the spirit realm. Okay, because when you pray in tongues, you can only get that from your spirit, man. That can't come from your head, you know. That can only come from your born-again spirit by the Holy Spirit giving you those words. And the Holy Spirit speaking his will into the earth through you, okay? And so when you bring up a situation, and to share a testimony, Andrew Womack shared this story. You may have heard him say it, or possibly I've shared it, I don't remember. But a man was trying to sell his house for 2 years, and it just sat on the market, and he prayed, you know, and you know how what we do, right? We beg God, oh Lord, won't you please, Lord, won't you please send a buyer? Lord, please, won't you send a buyer? Nothing happened. Well, he finally heard a teaching on the power of praying in tongues. So he decided, I'm going to do that. We prayed in tongues, and you probably know the end of the story. The very next day, the offer came on his house. When he got to know the buyer at the closing, he said, you know, I had my house on the market 2 years. And the buyer said, oh, I've been looking at it for 2 years. But he said, I had some situations where I couldn't make the offer until those were resolved. One is I had an outstanding debt. One is I had a credit problem. One is I had to get my house sold. And he said, all these things came to pass real quickly. You know, it's so like what's happening when we're saying, oh, God, send a buyer. He's like, I want to. But this has to happen, that has to happen, that has to happen, that has to happen. But what happens when you say, Kora parendele mashoko, even if you don't fully understand it, what's happening when we pray, the Holy Spirit is praying through us. He's saying, okay, bring a buyer for this guy's house. Let's close out this debt. Let's work on the credit rating. He is speaking what needs to be spoken. Because you're speaking God's will in the earth. So for those of you that wouldn't do it because you didn't understand it, there. It's really powerful. But the biggest thing it does is it builds you up in strength. You know, we pray a lot. And what we've seen is when we pray a lot, by default, my life is so much easier. And what I've seen is if there's not enough prayer coverage, if there's not enough praying in the Spirit, you can tell because you start to have the kind of attacks that most people have on a regular basis. You hear me? So you can do offensive attack prevention just by staying in the Spirit a lot. Okay? You can believe me or not believe me, but it's true. Hallelujah. You used to know a preacher that would say, you don't have to believe me, but I'm right. So just want you to know, God loves you. He's preparing us. That precipice, that eagle on the precipice, I'm telling you, is I believe what God is saying right now is the body of Christ stands on the very precipice of something we've waited all our lives to do. Some of you have been being prepared all your life, and I actually think the body of Christ has been being prepared for centuries to do a certain thing, and I think we're getting very close to the day when that will happen. It says, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. That means we will do more in the last day. Think of Samson. We'll do more in the last day than we did in all our other days, including the days of the apostles. That means the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Well, where do you want to be when that happens? I don't know about you. I want to be right smack in the middle of it. Samson, he lived a fairly carnal life. He was called as a Nazarite. You know that Samson was actually a judge. He was one of the judges. Isn't that amazing? He was a very carnal man. But in the last moment of his life, it says he took out more of the enemy than in all the rest of his life. He took out the enemy. And you know what? I think that's a picture of the church, a picture of us, you know, the church worldwide. I don't know the day or the hour. But I do know there's a call in the Spirit. There's a call get it together, get together, come into the Spirit, be made ready. If ever there was a day, it's now, because I really believe if we miss this one, you know, a lot of, for years, I see a picture of people, and I'm not condemning, but people going, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. Yep. You know, first chance I get, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, someday I'll take that class. Someday I'll do that Bible study. Someday I'll start going to prayer meeting. I'll start praying more someday. Well, I feel like the word from the Lord is, there is not time to do that now. And if we do that, I think I almost want to say this is the last hurrah. Like, if we don't deal with it now, you might as well just go back to sleep, because you're going to miss it. Though it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. But you will miss being part of what God is doing, which is going to be just, I think, more than we've ever seen in our lifetime. The Lord told me that we will actually see more miracles. I've seen a lot of miracles. I watched Edgar, had tons of miracles. I know several ministers that are just, their gift is the working of miracles, and it's just amazing to watch the power of those miracles. But God told me we will start to see in the earth, he said, more miracles than you've ever seen, more than I've ever seen, okay? And I've seen a lot, you know, and I'm not talking about me personally. I've had some, but Edgar had, I mean, everywhere we went, Edgar had miracles. I'm talking about creative miracles. Edgar was in Bakersfield, California, and there was a lady that came in front of him that had no eyeballs in her head, no eyeballs and no eyelids. And she threw off her glasses. It's quite a long story, but God, you know, Edgar didn't want to, you know, he said his stomach just turned in the natural, you know, you. But his hands, he said it was like God took his hands jumped, and his thumbs went into the sockets, and he felt something touching the end of his thumb, and he jerked his thumbs out and watched God grow eyeballs in that lady's head. And you know, that ain't hard for God. It's hard for humans to understand sometimes. But I'm telling you, God is a miracle working God. He never stopped. We stopped. He never stopped. We stopped. The church stopped. But I'm telling you, if the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former, I think that in our lifetime, I believe in our lifetime, and I don't think it's too far out, we will see more miracles than we've ever seen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.